I'd like to read with you this evening in the second book of Kings and chapter 5. 2 Kings and chapter 5. And we'll begin to read at verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent my clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpa, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near, and spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. And that's all that we'll read this evening, and we'll look to the Lord to add his blessing upon it. This evening we've read a fairly well-known story from the Old Testament, and I'd like to take some lessons from it in as far as the Gospel is concerned this evening. The first thing that we want to see is this man Naaman. We're introduced to this man Naaman, the captain of the army of the king of Syria. And we read a number of things about this man Naaman, but the thing that really strikes us about this man is the but that there is in his life. a but. And I suppose we can go through various people in history, we can go through various prominent people in the area, various people that would be called great men and women. And very often, we can think of a but. And they might be great, but we can think of something that stands out, some slip that they've made, something that they've done that just tarnishes everything that they have. Mind you, this man Naaman has some reputation. He had a reputation in the eyes of those that looked on. He was a great man with his master, or before his master. As his master looked at him, as the king of Syria would look at Naaman, he would see that he was a great man. And would see that he did all kinds of things for him, and he trusted him, and so on, and so forth. He had a reputation. I want to tell you that his reputation was nothing in the light of the but. Not only so, but in himself. His character, if you like, was exemplary. He was a good man. He was an honourable man, the Bible tells us. And because of him, or because by him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was an honourable man. He was an upright man. He was a good man. But that means nothing when you think of the but. And he'd done great things. He'd accomplished a lot. He'd won many battles. He was a mighty man in valour. But, and there are times in our lives, aren't there, when there's just something, and it doesn't matter who we are, and it doesn't matter what we've done, and it doesn't matter anything else, but the but takes precedence. And if that's true in terms of temporal things, if that's true in terms, say, of an illness that we might have, and everything else pales into insignificance when we consider the problem that we have, I want to tell you tonight that we've each of us got a but in our lives. And it doesn't matter what other people think about us. And it doesn't matter how good we are, how upright we are, how honourable we might be. And it doesn't matter what we've done. There is a but in the lives of every single man, woman, boy and girl on the face of the planet. And that but is called sin. The but that Naaman had was a disease that he had. And it was a debilitating disease. It was a disease that made him unclean. Now, I don't know what the laws were in Syria, but certainly for an Israelite, as they were coming and they were reading this and they read all about Naaman and his accomplishments, they suddenly came to the, he was a leper. And they'd draw in their breath in horror. And it would say a lot to them. Because leprosy made a man unclean. And leprosy separated a man from his family. And it separated a man from his friends. And it separated a man from his house, and he had to go outside the city and live outside the city, away from everyone else. And he couldn't enjoy the company of people unless there were lepers like him. And I want to tell you, if that was what leprosy did, for people in those days, it was a contagious disease, they had to be put out of society. If that's what leprosy did, in a physical sense, that's what sin does to us in a spiritual sense. Sin separates. Sin makes us unclean. Says the Bible, we are all as an unclean thing. We're all as an unclean thing. There is none that doeth good. No, not even one. And sin separates us. And sin brings in barriers. And the most important barrier that sin brings in, mind you, it does bring in barriers in families. And we can see broken families, and we can see the breakdown in marriages, and we can see the breakdown in the way that children don't respect their parents and don't respect adults anymore, and they don't respect their teachers at school. And we can see the way in which the youngsters go about and the mischief that they get up to. And we see that sin brings barriers. You see, the most important barrier that sin brings is a barrier between us and God. There's a barrier between us and God. And as far as God is concerned, that tarnishes everything else. As far as God is concerned, we are unclean in his sight. All our righteousnesses, says the Bible, are as filthy rags. And it doesn't matter how good we think we are. And it doesn't matter how good other people think we are. And it doesn't matter what we've done or what we do. There's this problem. This insurmountable problem that we have in our lives. A problem that's called sin. And I guess to Naaman, there was nothing else really that mattered when it came down to it, because this disease was incurable, and this disease ultimately was fatal, and this disease would bring him separation from everything that was nearest and dearest to him. But then there's a message that comes to him. And there's a little girl in his household, a little Israelite girl who'd been brought captive. And one day she says to her mistress, she says, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." What a wonderful message she had. You see, she directed him to a person. She directed him to a person. She said, "If only, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria." Her message was all about a person. It centered in a person. And I want to tell you tonight that the message of the gospel centers in a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we point you tonight not to a prophet. Not to someone who is sent from God and who speaks the word of God. Mind you, he did do that. And he did do that in a way that no one else could do. Says the Bible, "No one's seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." The Bible calls him the Word. He's the Word who brings to us the unfolding revelation of who God is and what God is like. That's what the Lord Jesus does. We don't point you to a prophet tonight. You see, the Bible would tell us that God spoke to us at different times and in different ways to the fathers by the prophets. But listen to this, he hath in these last days spoken to us by or in his Son. I want to tell you tonight that the person that we would point you to is the very Son of God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is bound up in him. We're going to learn, as Naaman had to learn, that there's no other way of salvation. That salvation only comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he's the only one who's done what's necessary. We were singing in our hymns this evening about the blood of Christ. And it says the scriptures, it's in him that we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. If you want to know cleansing from sin this evening, if you want to know the joy of being accepted and acceptable in the sight of God, it comes because of the death and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, when he gave himself, when he gave his life, when he shed his blood as a ransom for sin. See, the problem of sin was so great and was so serious that it brought the Son of God from heaven, and it brought him all the way to the cross of Calvary, set to die in shame and in agony, in humiliation, and there to bear the judgment of God against sin, to bear it in himself, to exhaust the judgment of God in himself, to exhaust an eternity of judgment in 3 hours of darkness. I can't understand that. I can't even begin to contemplate the horrors of what took place there and what it meant to him. But I know, and the Bible tells me, that because of what he did, and because of the fact that he's no longer dead, but he's risen again from the dead, and he's at the Father's right hand in heaven, because of that, and because of him, my sin can be cleansed, and I can be saved. It's a wonderful message that we have, and we direct you to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because salvation is found in no one else. I'd like you to see not only the centrality of a person in her message, but I want you to see the calm certainty of her message. It says, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, so he would recover him of his leprosy." There's absolutely no doubt in the mind of this little girl that if her master went to the prophet that was in Samaria, then he'd know cleansing and he'd know healing. And I want to tell you tonight that there's absolutely no doubt, as we stand here before you this evening, that if you come to Christ for salvation, that you'll know cleansing, and you'll know peace, and you'll know forgiveness. Absolutely no doubt at all. You say, why? How do you know? Well, you see, it's on the authority of the Scriptures of God. Authority of the Scriptures of truth, the Word of God, that tells us whoever believes in him has everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's so many verses that we can point you to in the New Testament that give absolute certainty. But here's one from the Lord Jesus himself. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It's a wonderful message. The message of salvation. The message of the gospel. Because it's a message of absolute certainty. There's no doubt in it. There's no ifs or buts. There's no maybes. There's no, well, give it a try. And maybe it'll work. And we'll just hope that everything turns out in the end. You see, the message of the gospel is a message of certainty, because it doesn't rest in us. It rests in what the Lord Jesus has already done. I want you to notice something else about her message. It's a message of compassion. Message of compassion. You say, where do you get that from? I want you to think of her circumstances. Who was she? She was a little girl and she was an Israelite. And she'd been taken captive from her own land. She'd been torn away from her family. She'd been torn away from her friends. She'd been torn away from the place where she lived. And she'd been taken away and she'd been dumped in somebody else's house, where she was expected to wait on them hand and foot. And here comes a message, and she's not bitter. And she says, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. It's amazing, isn't it? I've never really thought about that before. The fact that she was in such circumstances, and yet she still had a feeling and a compassion for her master, that she had the answer. And she couldn't keep it to herself. I want to tell you tonight that the gospel goes out to everybody. And the love of Christ constrains us tonight that we would preach, and we would preach to everybody. And there's no exceptions, and it doesn't matter whether people are hostile, and it doesn't matter what people do to us. The love of Christ would constrain us that we would tell them. And we would warn them of the problem of their sin, and we would warn them of the penalty of sin, which is an eternity without God. It is separated from God, being just for our sins. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, the message of the gospel would go out to everybody tonight. You see, any compassion that we have pales into insignificance and is as nothing compared with the love of God himself and with the love of Christ, who gave himself so that sinners like us could be saved. And so we have a message of a little girl. But then in the chapter, I want us to notice that there were three problems that Naaman had. Well, there are three misconceptions, I guess, that Naaman had, and there are three lessons that he had to learn, first of all. You see, the first problem that he had is that he went to the wrong person. And I guess sitting up there in the palace in Syria, they would the king of Syria would say, "Well, I know who you should go to. I think you should go to the king of Israel, because he's the one, and I'll send you to him." I want to tell you tonight that there's many, many, many people in this world who just go to the wrong person and are trying the wrong thing and are trying the wrong way. I want to tell you tonight there is only one person who can save you, and that's the Lord Jesus. The Bible will tell us that salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. And whether people would go to Muhammad, or whether we go to Buddha, or whether we go to Krishna or Confucius, or anyone else, I want to tell you tonight, they can't help. On the authority of the scriptures, they can't help. And the lesson that we need to learn tonight is that there is only one person and one alone who can help, who can cure, who can bring cleansing from the problem of sin. Did you notice that he really took a small fortune with him? 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. Now, I don't know how much that works out in common currency, but it's an awful lot of money that he took with him. He took a small fortune with him, but I tell you, if you go to the wrong person, a small fortune will do you no good whatsoever. And they might take your money and they might leave you destitute at the end of it, but they can do nothing to bring salvation and nothing to bring cleansing. Only the Lord Jesus can save. And so Elisha, or Elisha as we have to call him up here, sends word to the king of Israel and says, "Just send him to me that he might know that there is a prophet in Israel." He had to learn that if you want cleansing, you have to go to the right person. Second thing that he had to learn was, the second problem that he thought was, is found in verse 11. And it's when Naaman goes away in a strop and he's angry and he's in a rage. And what he says is, "Behold, I thought. See, that was his second problem. And his second problem, I guess, is divided into two, and then we get our three problems. The first of these is pride, isn't it? The first of his problems is pride. You see, he goes, and having been to the king of Israel, he goes to the door of the prophet, and he knocks on the door, and the prophet doesn't come out to him, but he sends a message, and he tells him what he's to do. And Naaman said, "Well, I thought I was better than that. And I thought I deserved better than that. Doesn't he know who I am? I'm the captain of the army of the host of the king of Syria. I'm the captain of the army of the Syrians. Doesn't he know my position? Doesn't he know my importance? I thought he'd come out and he'd wave his hand over the place and he'd call on the name of his God, and that's how I would be cleansed." You see, Naaman's got to learn that the pathway to cleansing is the pathway of obedience and the pathway of submission to the word of God. You see, Elisha had sent out a message to him and had sent out the word of God to him and had told him precisely what he had to do. And he says, "Go and wash 7 times and you'll be cleansed." And Naaman had to realize that "I thought" just doesn't matter. And "I thought" is going to get me nowhere. See, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And if you carry on in the ways of "I thought," you're never going to get salvation. And so Naaman had to learn that the pathway to salvation is the pathway of submission and the pathway of humility. You see, it meant him getting down out of his chariot and getting into the water in front of all the other people, in the front of his servants who came with him. and getting down and being obedient to what God had told him to do. And that way, he would be clean. I want to tell you that the way of salvation is no different. The way of salvation is the pathway of obedience to the word of God. The pathway of salvation is this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. See, there's no room there for pride. There's no room there for pride, because pride tells me that I'm good enough myself. And pride tells me that really, I deserve to get into heaven. And I'm not really that bad, really. And when it comes to it, God has to let me in, really, because of who I am. And I want to tell you that if you want salvation, you have to come God's way. And if you want cleansing, you have to do what God says. And the pathway to cleansing is repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The next thing, the next problem that he has is a misconception, really. And it's a common misconception, and it's really summed up in this: all those go to the same place. Now, it doesn't matter the method. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. If I've got a wash, then it doesn't really matter where I wash. And there's better rivers to wash in than this one. Much cleaner, and much nicer, and much closer to home. Can I not wash in them and be clean? But the lesson that he had to learn was that there's only one way. And really, the message that we have this evening is summed up in the words of the Lord Jesus. It's I, and that directs us to a person. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And all roads do not lead to the same place. All roads will not lead to God. And the only way we'll get into heaven is because of the grace of God. And because of the unmerited favour that he shows towards us. And the only way is by doing what God said. And trusting Christ. He had to learn these lessons. I judge it was a hard lesson to learn. He was a proud man. And he was used to getting his own way. And he turned and went away in a rage. I want you to see the wisdom of the servants who came. And they said, look, if the prophet had told you to do some great feat, wouldn't you have gone and done it? And I guess he'd say, of course I would. How much rather then? See, the message is so simple. And the message, if you like, is so easy. There's nothing difficult. There's nothing complicated. There's nothing that bars anybody from the salvation that is on offer this evening. It's believe and be saved. It's not go and climb Mount Everest. It's not go and pay millions of pounds into whatever it is, or give millions of pounds away. It's not walk across hot coals or things like that that people couldn't do. How much rather when God says, believe and be saved. You know, for some people I think it's too easy. And there are people that say, well, there's got to be more to it than that. Can't I do something? Can't I give something? Can't I pay something? Can't I earn it in some way? Not a bit of it. The Bible tells us that there's one way, and everybody has to come the same way. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. These are great barriers, great stumbling blocks to Naaman's cleansing, but praise God, he overcame them. And praise God, there are thousands, millions, who've overcome the same barriers and who are rejoicing tonight in God's salvation. I want you to see the blessing that came in obedience. Verse 14, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. He went to the place that he was told to do. He did exactly what he was told to do, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. You know something? He was better than he was before. I don't know how old Naaman was, but I judge he was at least as old as I am. And that's getting on a bit these days. But you stand and you look at your skin and you remember what it's like, and you look at your children and you see what their flesh is like, and it's not the same anymore, is it? And as you get older, it's even more not the same. But his flesh came to him like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You know something? When God does something, he doesn't do it by halves. And when God cleanses and when God saves, he does it completely. And says the scripture, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And God doesn't do a patch-up job on old lives. He starts from scratch. And he gives new life. And he makes us a new creation, a new creature in Christ. Flesh came unto him like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You know, there's another lesson that he had to learn. Another lesson that we've mentioned already, and that is that salvation was a gift. Well, salvation is a gift. And he went back to Elisha, and he came and he said, look, isn't there something I can give you? I brought all this stuff with me. Isn't there something that you want? And he says, no, not a penny. Nothing. I'm not going to take anything. Please take it. No. Elisha was teaching him that the salvation of God comes freely. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't pay for it. We couldn't merit it. We couldn't work for it. Praise God. We don't have to. Because salvation is a gift. It's a gift from God. Notice he's trying to pay for it after he's been cleansed. We couldn't do that either. A lifetime of working after we've been cleansed could never bring us salvation. That doesn't mean that we live as we like after we're saved. Because the Bible teaches us that our life should match up with the profession that we've made. And having got the life of God, we now live that out to serve God and to please God. But you see, it's not a life of drudgery. It's not a life thinking, oh no, I've got to do this to pay for what I've got. No, it's a gift. We don't have to pay for it before we get it. We don't have to pay for it after we get it. We're not like Jacob, you know. Jacob, he worked 7 years for one wife. And then he got another wife and he worked 7 years afterwards for her. And he was working and he was working and he was working all the time. But you see, salvation's a gift. And it's there to be received from the hand of the Saviour. Finally, there's a wonderful change in his life, wasn't there? He came down from Syria a leper. He went back cleansed. He came down an idolater. He came down as someone who didn't know the true God. As someone who spoke in verse 11, I thought he would call on the name of the Lord his God. And he leaves saying, I know now that there's no God in all the earth but in Israel, and I'm going to worship no other God but the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful change that came into a life as Naaman. There's a wonderful, wonderful change that comes into a life of everyone who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. We know cleansing. We know forgiveness. We can worship and we can serve the God of heaven, and we can do so because of what the Lord Jesus has done. So Naaman, he had to learn some lessons. He had to learn that there was no other person who could save him. He had to learn that there was no other way of salvation other than obedience to the word of God and trusting in what God had said. I want to tell you tonight that if you want to know salvation, there's no other way. We have to go to the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to come the right way through faith in him. Says the Bible, whoever trusts in him
will never, ever be put to shame. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you this evening for the message of salvation. We thank you for the things that we can learn from thy word, the Bible. We thank you, Father, for a story of so many hundreds of years ago, and yet, our Father, we thank you for the way in which it can speak to us, even in our day. We thank you for the lessons that Naaman learnt. And we just pray, our Father, that each one that's listening, whether now or later, might learn the same lessons and might come the same way, the pathway of obedience to thy word and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, our Father, we ask thy blessing to be upon us as we separate. Take us to our homes in safety, we pray. We pray for those not with us this evening, and we pray that thou lay thy hand upon them and grant healing and restoration and bring them back to us once again, we pray. We commend them to thee and commend ourselves to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus.